And the kind of the trend line theme throughout all of this is that we should become people of grace or people of God. And so this morning we're going to carry on in 2 Timothy. So if you want to turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 17 onwards, and you want to keep your Bible open there, like put your pinky finger in there, and then go to Psalm 92 as well, because we're going to refer back to the two texts as we carry on this morning. But let's start with 2 Timothy chapter 2. From verse 19. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription: the Lord knows those who are His, and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. In a large house there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for special purposes and some for common use. Those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for special purposes, made holy and useful to the master and prepared to do any good work. Flee from the evil desires of your youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know they produce quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Opponents must be gently instructed in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, and that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. That's 2 Timothy, and then Psalm 92 from verse 12. But the godly will flourish like palm trees and grow strong like the cedars of Lebanon, for they are transplanted to the Lord's own house. They flourish in the courts of our God. Even in old age they will still produce fruit. They will remain vital and green. They will declare, "The Lord is just. He is my rock. There is no evil in him." When we go back to 2 Timothy, you'll notice that it says there are many articles in the house. And when we unpack that text and we look at the original Greek, it's quite difficult to understand, because what's an article in a modern day society? We don't have articles anymore. We have ornaments, but not really. You know, some of us might have ornaments. But if you look in a young person's house and you find an ornament, that'll be a miracle, hey? Yeah, like, what's this ornament business? You know, we have iPads and TVs and PlayStations and maybe a painting on the wall. Okay? But maybe, you know, you're not like that and you do have some ornaments in your house, even as a young person. But we don't have gold and silver. And maybe if you're up in Maritzburg last night, you've got a lot of wood lying around. It was 7 degrees. I felt like I'm in Joburg again. It was so cold, you know, it goes through your bones. It was lekker. And then we drove back here and I'm like, thank goodness. Nice and warm, 16 degrees, it's lekker. But we don't normally have articles of gold and silver and wood lying around in our house. So what does this mean? In the context of this text, these are things used back in the day for special purposes and common use. So wood was used for common use, to make fire and cook. But gold and silver was kept aside for special uses. And that's kind of natural, you know, even in your own house. You're not going to take out the finest cutlery for your everyday use. You know, you're going to take the stuff that you buy at the local shop around the corner, you know, that can break, and then you can throw it away and just buy a new one. But the stuff that's really expensive, you only bring out maybe at Christmas or Easter or a 50th birthday. You know, you've polished it for years, okay, and then you bring it out then. But what about the church? How does this apply to the church today? And now, please hear me out. None of us are chops of wood, eh? We are all awesome articles of gold and silver. But what we need to understand is that God wants us sometimes to be a piece of wood, where we are used for common use, where we welcome people at the back door. Hey, Adrian, that's a fairly easy thing to do. It's a common task in normal church circles to greet people at the back door and just hand out a bulletin. It doesn't take any rocket science. But for those who serve coffee, you would know that it does take a bit more rocket science to figure out that coffee filter machine and make sure it's not too strong or too weak. You know, it takes a bit of skill. But then operating that sound desk, okay, Vernon? There you need like kind of like an aircraft license. You know, with those lights going all over the place, and sometimes it's too loud and sometimes it's too soft, and that's a really hard job. But please volunteer. You know, Vernon would like to have it off, you know, weekend every now and then. But how about the computer? Belinda, would you like other people to help you? Often we wonder what that person does. It's called easy worship. You just click and it's easy. But there's quite a bit of pressure over there, because if she's not on time and we're singing the chorus and she's still on the verse on the screen, you guys kind of go, listen, but what's going on here? Hey? There are different roles and different things that we can do in God's church. And yes, they require different skill sets. I cannot sew to save my life. But we have a phenomenal sewing group in this church. James has received a blanket from you guys that he will not part with. Thank you very much. You know, even going into the toilet, he wants that blanket. So if you ever want a blanket, ask the sewing ladies to give you one. It lasts, it works really, really well. But do not give it to little ones, please. Like, seriously. He wants to take it everywhere. I can't shower with a blanket, people. It's really, really hard. But you guys are really gifted in that. And what God's trying to show us here is if you are willing to serve Him, whether it is like a piece of wood at the back door, it's a wooden door, so I'm calling the door wood, not Adrian, please. But the welcome is at the wooden door. You can serve God faithfully at that door if you are willing to be used by Him. And the same on the sound desk and the computer and the sewing ladies and all the other ministries that we have in our church. If you are willing, God will use you. And this morning, this is where the message gets a bit tough. And that's why we referred back to Psalm 92. Often we think our time as being used by God is up. We retire in a church sense. Oh, friends. The big tall trees have the strongest, most beautiful fruit. Create the most shade. They're not easily tossed around by the wind. We need strong, faithful Christians to keep serving until they meet the Lord one day. We need to keep serving the Lord. We cannot retire as Christians. Young people, you and I need to work and work and work to the point where we can retire from our jobs, but hopefully one day, then full-time, instead of part-time Christians. Hear me out. Part-time Christians, you can only give so much to the church because you work full-time. But let us work as hard as we possibly can so that as early as we possibly can, retire and serve the Lord full-time. Don't go start a shell collection when you retire. What a waste. You're in your prime. You've got tons of wisdom. Pass it on to the next generation on a full-time basis. You've not got enough money in the bank. You don't have to worry about all that kind of stuff anymore. Hey? You've worked hard for that. But now you've got tons of disposable time. Come and use it for God's glory. And there are massive holes in this church that you can easily fill with your gifting. If we have any retired teachers in this room, I see them like hiding very quickly. Come on. Our homework center is flourishing. We're adding more staff because the kids just love coming there. But we need more people. You can ask Jackie, you can ask Caitlin, we need more people. Because the need in this community for good aftercare is massive. But we cannot take in more kids if I haven't got more adults to look after those kids. So come on. If you can teach somebody how to count from 1 to 10, you can come and help. Hey? And those who are more educated in that sense, the teachers will guide you. Go, okay, it's not 2 times 2 is not 3. They can guide you. But we just need more hands on deck. The same with holiday care and even the coffee corner. There are times when those staff run like chickens and they need another head because it's just so frantic and so busy. It'll be phenomenal if we have people around to just go and look at the kids and go, hey, please don't break another toy. Let's just play nicely. Don't slap that kid. Let's play together. It'll be phenomenal if we can just do that. But more importantly, people in this room with some serious skill sets. Admin, insurance, finance, running a business. You've done it so successfully all your life. Even working with your hands. How about we start passing that on to the next generation? Don't go collect shells. Pass on what you've got to the next generation. So when you rock up in heaven, God goes, well done. Just look at how that guy is like welding stuff down there. That was you. You taught him that. And in teaching him that, you shared the gospel with him. Oh, man. Then you can chill with the shell collection. Hey? Or go play golf every day. That sucks, because I really want to go play golf every day when I retire one day. But the more and more I read scripture, the more and more I get challenged that I can only retire in heaven. Because when we look at Paul and we look at all the apostles and the disciples and the early followers of Christ, they only stopped preaching the gospel when they were dead. Why do we stop when we retire? No, man. You stop when you can't breathe anymore. When you cannot teach anymore. That's when you stop because you can't. Hey? Come on. There's a guy, some of you know him, Oswald Sanders. At age 70, he retires from ministry and then decides to write a book a year for churches. That's on me. I can't write books to save my life. But this guy writes a book a year for churches and church leaders. He's now 89 years old. And he writes a little article that my writing career started 19 years ago. And it's flourishing and I'm loving it. Just imagine that. Where yes, you've worked hard in your industry. Whatever God has gifted you to do and called you to do. You've worked hard and the boss comes to you and says, listen, but you're 65, it's time to pack up your suitcase and go home. And I think for some of us, that's quite what are you going to do? 8 to 5, 40 years. You've given your life to this industry, company. And now what? Oswald Sanders says, hey, fantastic. I've got 45 hours every week to write a book. And I'm going to try and write a book a year. Some of your best musicians retire from their full-time jobs and they start writing songs at 65. And they blow the world away with amazing lyrics. Why? Because they've got tons of life experience. Their words have got depth and meaning. Kind of go, wow. Their books make sense. It's not Twitter language. Hey, where you're like, what are you trying to say? There's wisdom. And it's been passed on to the next generation. But the key is, are you willing to be used by God? Not just in your retirement, but right now. Because we're not off the hook as Young Oaks. We can't go, it's cool. I've got another 40 years, study my Bible, go to church, and just chill. And then when I retire, Jan said, I can then go into it. No. Nonsense. As soon as you possibly can, the moment you give your heart to Jesus, Surely there's something inside of you that goes, I want to tell somebody else about this. I might not have all my ducks in a row. I might use Twitter language and some hashtags, Jesus. If it works, share the gospel and grow in your faith and keep growing. So when you are 65, you don't have to go back to the basics. You've laid a good, solid foundation. You've worked in your relationship with God throughout your entire life. Your tree has grown to like a cedar of Lebanon. These trees grow up to 40 meters. Some of you, in terms of your spiritual maturity, wow. I am blown away by your spiritual maturity. You create a whole lot of shade for us. And when we feed off your branches, man, it's good, nourishing food for our souls. Keep going. There's no tree out there that goes, I'm going to chill. No fruit for you. No. Until that tree dies, it keeps producing fresh leaves every year and fresh fruit. Yes, some of it might be a bit matured, but hey, you know, matured steak is always a good thing. Keep growing, keep feeding, and young people, let us keep growing. Because yes, we're going to face storms as well. And sometimes we need to go lean on a buddy tree and go, hey, but the storm's a bit hectic, eh? I'm leaning towards the side here. I need a bit of help. And the buddy goes, stand up right, bro. Pull up your pants. This is how we walk. Hey, but we need that wisdom beyond just pulling up our pants and walking upright. We need to also pursue righteousness, love, and peace. And where else to learn that from than those who have gone before us? And go, yes, in that situation, when my boss gave me that written warning, I had to be peaceful about it. And the young man could ask you, or the young lady, but how? How do you accept that with grace? And say, okay, I'm going to turn over a new leaf. I'm going to work really hard. I take heed to that warning. Keep growing. All of us, dear friends, whether we have been Christians for 50 years or for 5 months, need to take heed to this. That God wants us to pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. He wants to use us as articles in His house. But sometimes we are filthy. Filthy Christians. And He wants to cleanse us. He wants to put us in the dishwasher. Okay? And make sure that when we greet people at the door, it is like Adrian and Zoe, with these massive smiles, not just on their faces, but in their eyes. They want you to be here today. Hey, didn't you feel welcome this morning and loved and cared for? Yes, of course. And I'm using Adrian and Zoe as an example. But if they did some really dodgy stuff last night, and they felt guilty about it, and didn't confess it to the Lord, you would see it in their eyes. They'll greet you, go, hello, welcome to church. You'll notice that there's no genuineness there. Hey? You can see it a mile away, a fake Christian. You can smell them. They stink. Really bad. Hey? But if we allow God to purify us, it says that in 1 John 1 verse 9. We confess our sins to the Lord. He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we can stand at the door or on the sound desk or the computer or in the sewing team, and we can surely be loving and peaceful and gracious to other people. And they can see the genuineness a mile away. And slowly but surely, with Adrian and Zoe and all of you in this room, we slowly but surely grow in our faith and show others what God is really all about. More and more people will start seeing the light in this world. The wickedness that is so evident in our world will slowly but surely be turned to light. If you go and read the rest of Psalm 92, I gave you the highlight realm. In the first 11 verses, the psalmist is gruesomely honest about the evil that's going on in this world. If you and I want to turn things around and not listen to this, Though the wicked sprout like weeds and evildoers flourish, they will be destroyed forever. When we turn on the television or we go on Facebook, there is so much evil and just wickedness out there. God wants to use us, gold, wood, and silver, to go into this world and show them His love, show them His way. But you and I have to grow strong in our faith in order to do that. We need to have that solid foundation, as we spoke about a few weeks ago. Because the world's going to tell you, you are absolutely cooked when you say, love your enemies. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. That's not how the world works. It's eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. God wants us to change things around, but it has to start here. We've got to be willing to be used by the Lord. And say, Lord, here I am. Yes, I'm a dirty silver cup. Please cleanse me out. Polish me nicely. And use me to go welcome people at the door, or on the computer screen, or in the homework center. Use me to make a difference in this world for your name's sake. I'm here, I'm willing. Help me, Lord. And in a group like this, we can also help each other grow. And that's why we come here every day, to support one another, to love one another, to say, hey, it's going to be okay. Keep growing in your faith. You're going to get stronger through this. And let us go and show this world more about God every day. Let's pray together. Thank you that we are in this room today. That you've made every single one of us. And yes, we have different giftings. We are at different ages in this room. But you want to use all of us to take your message to the far corners of this world, starting in Durban North. And so today we sit here and we say, Lord, here we are. You know exactly what's going on in our hearts. You know if there's any dirt in it and in us. Today, Lord, please cleanse us with your grace once again. Wash our hearts clean. Make them whiter as snow. Restore us once again. And then use us for your glory and your name's sake.